This morning we are continuing in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. We'll be looking at verses 14 through 19. Look at, read about, learn about the lights, the luminaries that show us the times. So Genesis 1, 14 through 19. I'll read. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. So here is the fourth day of God's creation, where he creates lights. We see the same pattern being repeated again every day. God speaks, and what God says happens, and it's good. He assesses them, he commissions them. So first he speaks, God said, let there be lights. Not the same light as in verse 3. There's a different word. It's a shining or something, a lamp or a luminary, something that is lighting things. Lighting, or I don't know what to call it in English, but it's not the same light in plural. It's things that are lighting or shining, illuminating things. So he says this. Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. Here it sounds like he's saying that in this expanse that he created, the light will be inside this expanse, below the waters, in the atmosphere. But we need to understand that God is not here, the purpose here is not to teach us about cosmology or how space looks like or how exactly everything looks. But we know that when people, God was speaking to people, and when people were looking into the sky, they would see that the sun is up there in the sky. As we say today as well, say that the sun is in the sky. We say that the stars are in the sky, although they are very, very far away out in space. So it's a phenomenological expression from the point of view of the earth. We see the sun in the sky. It doesn't mean that God or the Bible is wrong saying that the sun is somehow below the clouds. Everybody knew that the sky is not below the clouds, or that it is inside Earth's atmosphere. It's an expression, and the same thing, we say that the sun is rising, although we know that it's actually the Earth is spinning. Still we say sunrise and sunset. We use these expressions because they're more simple and easy, and God is not here to tell us about science. He wants us to explore the universe ourselves and learn and find out about space. The Bible is for to tell us about salvation and God's will, how to be saved, how to live. It's not here to tell us about science. So, we're not to take this and believe that the earth is flat and there's a vault of heaven above us where the sun is spinning around, or things like that. That's not the point here. It's telling about God creating these lights, and that's how it looks for us people, for the humans. The sun is in the sky, the moon is in the sky, the stars are in the sky. If we read verse 17 and 15, or 17, this may even be interpreted as the sun is shining through the atmosphere, spreading light over the earth. So that's more correct here. That could be an interpretation right there in verse 17, that these lights are shining through. This word for in Hebrew can mean through, can also mean on, or, but that's also how it can mean. But here the purpose is, God is putting them here, as he says in verse 14 or 15, both 14 and 15. First, their purpose is to separate between day and night. When God created light, in verse 3 and forward, he says that he then separates between light and darkness, and he calls the light day and the darkness night. And now he creates or makes smaller or other lights who are to separate between day and night, and also to mark times. To separate and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. He means that they are to be signs of days, or mark out days and seasons and years. And this is their purpose. They're there to tell the time, to show what time it is, what time of day it is, what time of the year it is, what time of the month, and so forth. So that's his purpose, and he says that these let them be, and then it happens. Verse 15, finally, it was so, and it was so. What God says happens, as usual. God is almighty, and then it goes further into the different lights here, or luminaries. In verse 16, first it says, and God made the two great lights. It's a different word from create. It doesn't say God created the two lights. It says he made the two lights. Now, why is there a difference here? Because God had already created the light. Light already existed. It was a separate thing from these two lights he makes. So it may mean that he takes from this great light that he has done. Some commentary says that God created a big fiery ball of fire or light. Doesn't say that in the word, but may mean that he takes from this great light, he takes the sun, shapes the sun out of this great light, takes the moon and shapes it out of this great light. We know how that can work, but it says he made the two great lights. The first one, the greater light, is of course the sun. It doesn't mention the sun. The sun is not named here, but it's the greater light, the sun. We understand that the sun is a very great light. It's very big. It's 109 times bigger than Earth. So it's right to call it the Great Light. And this Great Light is made to rule the day or regulate the day. And then the smaller light, which is smaller than Earth, the Moon. The Earth is about 1/4 the size of Earth. So the Sun is about 100 times bigger than the Earth. The Moon is 1/4 the size of Earth. And the Moon is created to, or made to, rule the night, the lesser light, to rule the night. And then, as a tangent or as a small detail, God also creates the stars, also to rule the night. Psalm 136, verse 9 says that God created the stars to rule the night. Now, note that the stars are coming like an afterthought or as an just mentioned in passing, and the stars, and we understand now that we know what the stars really are, that they are suns, millions of light years or whatever, very far away, bigger than our own sun. But God is not here trying to tell us about cosmology or everything. He wants us to discover that by ourselves. He wants to focus on Earth. Yes, these stars are very big, shiny suns, very far away, that are bigger than the sun we see. But that's not the point. He's focusing on Earth. The stars are there for us to see. They're that big so that we can see them from the distance. So he's focusing on Earth, not on cosmology, not on space or anything. And the scientists today can wonder why, how can, if the stars are that far away, you know, several billions of light years away, it should have taken billions of years for the light from the stars to come here. And that's why they say that the universe has to be several billions of years old, because otherwise the light from the stars couldn't have reached us, and therefore they say that the universe is definitely not 6,000 years old as the Bible says. But they are missing some important things. First of all, in Einstein's theory, light, if you travel at the speed of light, time goes differently. So in their own theory, it is possible for light to travel very far, even if it should have taken billions of years, because light is traveling at the speed of light. It takes less time for light to actually reach that far. So it's unknown, and they themselves have made up their own theories, because they find that the universe, the Big Bang theory, should really be impossible. So they are actually making up other theories as well to show that the light from the stars could actually come to Earth quicker. So there can be a scientific Einstein relative theory explanation for why, or simply that God in his omnipotent power made the light from the stars reach here faster than it should. We can leave that question to the side and say that God and his word is always right, and we as human beings, the greatest scientists, even Einstein himself or Stephen Hawking, and those people with their high IQs, do not know everything about space, do not know how things work. We haven't been very far out in space. We haven't been there. We have only looked at space through telescopes through satellite telescopes and things that, and there is really very little that we actually know about space and the stars. So by no means this speaks against the truth of the Bible. We have to trust God and know that he knows his creation better than any man. Then we see in verse 17, after creating these things, the sun, the moon, and the stars, he gives them their good commission, their mission. Literally, it says that God gave them to shine in or through the expanse or the atmosphere, or God gives them the mission, the issue, the things they are to do. He gives them to shine in or through the atmosphere, over the earth, spread its light upon earth. And then verse 18, again repeating, he gave them to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And he doesn't give them names here. So in the previous verses, God gives the things he's created, he gives them names. When he creates light, he calls the light day and the darkness night. When he makes the expanse, separates the water below and the water above, he calls it sky or heaven or sky. When he creates the land masses and things, separates between water and land, he calls the dry part land, and the water he calls the ocean or the sea, and so on. But now he stops giving things names, and then we will see in the further days coming, he is blessing the things that he is creating. He doesn't give them names. He's blessing them. But here in the middle, the sun, the moon, the stars, he doesn't give them names to show his authority over them. He doesn't give them any names. He also doesn't give them any blessing. He doesn't bless the sun and moon and stars. But he shows his authority over them by giving them commands, by giving them this mission to shine. And he says that it was good. And it may be that he emphasizes here that why doesn't he give them names, the sun, the moon? Because they are not living beings. They're not entities. They're not gods. They're just created by gods. They're created by God. They're objects created by God, obeying God. They are not deities. And he gives them this command, and they obey, and he says, sees that it was good. And he said that it was good. He saw that it was good. It was good that they obeyed him. They obeyed his command. And he knew that they were going to be good for life on earth, for the humans who would be warmed by them, who would have sight by them, see things in the light, and know what time of day it was, what time of year it was. That was God's purpose with them. So God's purpose, God wanted us, God wanted his creation, his humans that he would create, to know the time. God shows what time it is by creating these things, by having the sun, the moon, and stars above us. He is showing us what time it is. They were to mark out, be signs that show seasons, days, and years. God himself already knew what time it was. God didn't need this giant clock in the sky to know what time it was. And we know, again, people are saying that, you know, since it says that it was the first day, the second day, the third day before the sun was created, so how could it be real 24-hour days? How could God know how many hours it was during the day? Well, of course, because God is the one who has created time. God knows what time it is. He doesn't need the sun to know what time it is. Or he doesn't need the sun for there to be time. God already existed. God already knew the times. But these signs, these lights were created for us so that we could see and understand what time it was. And nothing says that time changed after this, that these days went from being millions of years and then suddenly the sun was created and now these days are just 24-hour cycles. Nothing says that. We have to take God for his word and that a day is still a day. That this is not a poetic text or anything. It's to be taken literally. So now we can know what time it is because of the sun and the stars and the moon. We can know that it's day or night. We can even know what hour it is. We're to know what time it is, not to know the future. It's not about astrology. He doesn't say that they are to be signs, that they are to show us signs, like the stars are going to show us signs, like they say in astrology with the zodiac signs. That's not what it means. They are to be signs of what time it is, to be markings of what time it is. The Bible is clear that astrology is an abomination. He tells them in Leviticus 19:26, he says, "You shall not eat any flesh with the blood in it. You shall not interpret omens or tell fortunes. You shall not tell omens, look at the stars and see what omens there may be in the stars. What the stars may say about the future." Or in Deuteronomy, there shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens or a sorcerer, etc. Divination, interpreting omens, trying to find out messages in the stars about the future. That's not what God meant. He meant us to know what time it is right now. What time it is right now. So it's not astrology, but astronomy. Knowing the stars, their positions, shows us what time it is. And it's amazing to see how this has been carried out in history, how God has put these things in the sky, and people throughout history have been looking at the skies, made observatories, even what they say, even the most Stone Age cultures. We know that it wasn't really like that, but in archaeology, even the most primitive, as they say, most primitive Stone Age cultures, they knew the stars, they knew what time it was. They made very advanced calendars. They built observatories. They say that Stonehenge, for example, a monument in England built in the Stone Age, a very advanced building that we only have the ruins left from, of was actually an observatory to show, to look and study the stars, to read the stars, to read what time it was, to see when certain stars were passing here, it's this time of year, and when certain stars are passing here, it's this time of year, or when the sun is going this way, or the sun is going like that, it's this time of year. People have built sundials to show where the shadow falls on the ground and what time it was during the day. Very advanced calendars. We know the Mayan calendar that ended in 2012, a very famous calendar. They were able already back then to figure out what day it would be by studying the stars, what day it would be year 2012. Not that they believed that the world would end or something like that, it was just that they didn't update it further than 2012. So they, with our advanced technology we have today, we have computers that calculate what time of day it is, and all these things, still, this technology is still based on the sun and synchronized after the sun. And even the most primitive, or people without technology like we have, were able to calculate, to find out, to study the stars and the heavens, to find out what time it was, what time of year it was. And also, God gave the people of Israel the law to understand the times. This law, these ceremonies that they had, were regulated by the moon. They followed the moon phases to calculate months, to calculate and try to find out when they had to celebrate the different feasts that God had ordained for them to celebrate. This they were to find out by looking at the moon, looking at the stars. And again, even us today with our advanced technology, advanced calendars, we still synchronize them based on the sun. They're synchronized based on the sun. And even the calendars that we make are flawed. They have to be corrected every 4 years. We have to put in leap years, leap days, and everything, just because our systems are always flawed and the sun is always right. That's the perfect standard for time. And foremost, of course, God's great plan, his overarching will, is that the sun, the moon, and stars are to lead us to God. When we see the stars, the heavens, the work of his hands, we are to praise him. The stars proclaim the glory of God. The sky proclaim the work of his hands, Psalm 19. They are to show us that God has created. There is a creator, a very mighty, omnipotent creator who has created all these things. And the more we have explored space with telescopes and everything, the more we see how great and powerful God is. That we thought that first we used to think, as humankind used to think, that the stars were just small light bulbs on the vault of heaven. And of course, yeah, nice that God could create this. But then when we really explored, looked in the telescope and found out that they are actually greater than that, that only magnified the glory of God even more. They proclaim the glory of God. There are also to be signs. And Jesus, he talks, speaking to the Pharisees. He acknowledged that we can see the signs of the times by how the things in heaven are moving and know whether it's morning or day or night or everything. But he rebukes the Pharisees. In Matthew 16, verse 2 and forward, the Pharisees and Sadducees came to test him and asked him to show them a sign from heaven. They were, as it were, to say that Jesus should show from astrology why he is the Messiah. Showing the stars in the zodiac or anything. Show why you are the Messiah in the stars. Jesus answers with a rebuke. He answered them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah." So he left them and departed. His answer really is that you're not to look for signs in the heavens of the coming of the Messiah, or zodiac signs, or in astrology. You are to look to the prophets, where God has given signs of the Messiah. Not in the skies, but in the law and the prophets. He refers to the prophet Jonah, the sign of Jonah. The signs in the law are types and shadows of Christ. They are signs of the Messiah. And the law is, the Torah follows the moon phases. The moon itself only reflects the sun in a weaker way, in a more dim way. It's just a reflection of the light shining from the sun. And in the same way, the law, with its types and shadows, reflects in a weaker light the true sun, the Messiah. The true sun, S-U-N. The true sun that goes down, is buried, and goes up rises again. That's the sign of Jonah. He would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He would go down and he would rise again on the third day. He is the true Son. And as he tells the Pharisees here, you're to understand the times, read the times in Scripture. We are to understand the times, not just what time of day it is, but understand the signs God gave in his word. Just as the stars are put in the night sky to serve God and to shine, we as Christians are to serve him by shining in darkness. 2 Peter 1:19 says, "We have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." The word of God is the light that shines in a dark place, the prophetic word. And the day dawns, the morning star that rises is Christ Jesus. Jesus is the morning star. Revelation 22:16. "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and descendant of David, the bright morning star." And we as Christians are also to be the stars shining in darkness in a dark and crooked generation by our works, by our good and righteous deeds, by our testimony, by our faith, by speaking the word of God. We are to shine in darkness. The stars in the sky, out in space, they're always shining. They shine constantly because God, one day, this day, the fourth day, told them to shine in heaven, in the sky. And they're still shining to this day. He told them once, they're still shining without fail. And we are to shine like stars. Are we shining without fail? Are you shining like stars in the darkness? Because God, your Lord, has commanded you to shine and keep shining. Keep your lamps burning. The stars constantly shine in God's service. And of course, we are aware of the pagan perversions that make these signs God has given us into false idols. All the religions who worship the sun and the moon and the stars, practice astrology. It's a perversion because these signs are to lead us to God, to lead us to know something about God and to worship him. God says in Zephaniah, one, verse 4, I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off from this place the remnant of Baal and the name of the idolatrous priests along with the priests, those who bow down on the roofs to the hosts of the heavens, those who bow down and swear to the Lord and yet swear by Milcom, those who have turned back from following the Lord, who do not seek the Lord or inquire him, turning away from the Lord instead of worshipping the Creator, worshipping the creation, the stars and sun and moon, the host of the heavens that God himself has created. Instead of worshipping the Creator, they worship the creation. And they practice astrology, even in this supposedly atheist, rationalistic age. People are turning to astrology. You can hear many people who say that, you know, God, that's just fairy tales. I don't believe in God, I'm an atheist. But then they read astrology in the newspapers, or even go to fortune tellers, people who tell fortunes, divination. They try to practice divination, try to find the future in the stars, or find what they are supposed to do today by reading the daily horoscope. Astrology is still alive and well, as it has been through the ages. God tells to them, to you who practice astrology, in Isaiah 47:13, you are wearied with your many counsels. Let them stand forth and save you, those who divide the heavens, who gaze at the stars, who at the new moons make known what shall come upon you. Behold, they are like stubble. The fire consumes them. They cannot deliver themselves from the power of the flame. No coal for warming oneself is this, no fire to sit before. The horoscopes, the stars, the astrology cannot save, cannot tell your future. And they cannot save you from the fire that is to come and consume, the fire of the wrath of God that is to come upon all those who refuse to worship him and obey him, but instead worship idols, creation. They are like stubble, the fire consumes them. They cannot deliver themselves from the power of the flame. The flame, the fiery wrath of God that is coming. There is only one Savior from the wrath of God, and there is only one who has told the future, who is telling us the future, who foretold the coming of the Messiah, and it happened, who foretold many things by the prophets who have come to pass, and who have foretold things that will still come to pass, that in the future Christ will return. He will judge the living and the dead, and there will be a consuming fire, the wrath of God, the lake of fire where they are suffering forever and ever, eternally. That's the future God is warning about for those who refuse to submit to him, to worship him, who keep on with their sin, who do not want to turn and trust in Christ for their salvation. There is no salvation in astrology, in horoscopes, in the false idols, in the hosts of the heavens. They are serving God. There is only salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the true Son, who is coming while it is still dark and night. He will come again and he will shine with his light. And that light, for those who do not have the blood protection on them, his own blood, will be burned severely in his judgment. So God created the sun, the moon, the stars to separate day and night and mark times, days and years. And these heavenly bodies are objects obeying under God. They are not gods themselves. They cannot tell the fortune, the future, or anything. They are just shining, serving God, showing us what time of day or year it is. They proclaim the glory of God and are there to lead us and guide us toward him, to worship him, the amazing, almighty, omnipotent Creator. We are invited here to look at all the wondrous lights on the heavenly expanse and praise and worship God in his mighty power to create them. We're not to worship the creation, not to believe that creation has created us. And some also believe that the stars created us. We are stardust. We're not to believe that. Or that they tell us future or about our lives. God instead speaks to us by his word about his own glory. He speaks to us about our future and about his Son, the Messiah, the Anointed One, who was to come and who has come and who will come. He has spoken about this to us clearly in his revealed word. And like the moon is just shining dimly, reflecting the light from the sun, so his word is reflecting the glory of the sun. And we know that as the moon shines, we know that the sun is there on the other side of the earth, and that one day, or when morning comes, it will rise again and come and shine in the same way we know from God's true, reliable word that the sun, S-O-N, is going to come back again. Let us repent. To God, trust his Son, Jesus Christ, the true morning star, the true sun, and let us keep to his word, stay with his word. Again, ending with 2 Peter 1:19. We have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Let us pray. God, our Lord, we thank you. Thank you for creating light and the lights to shine. Give us warmth. Show us what time it is. Thank you for letting us know and talking to us about yourself through your mighty creation, through creating these greater and lesser lights, showing forth your glory and showing that you have not left us just in darkness, not knowing where we are or what time it is. And you have not left us in darkness concerning yourself and your will for us, concerning salvation, concerning your Son. You have showed us clearly in your word everything that we need for life, for knowing the gospel, for knowing salvation, for knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we will keep to your word, keep to you, keep trusting in you steadfastly, like the stars, never quitting to shine for your glory, in your obedience, keeping ourselves to your word and to your promise, knowing that Christ will come back and we will be forever with him. Help us with all these things, knowing you and growing with you. Amen.